Hello and welcome to this half of the show. We do not know where this is going to go. It's myself, Self-Fascinic, and Nubarama joining me.
I have a good idea of where we're going to go in the next 15 to 20 minutes. But after that, it's going to be a total mystery.
So Thurbleton's doing his half. I don't know where that's going. I don't know where this is going. So this might be the whole show, question mark. But me and Noob have been sitting here. Thank God we started recording early. Like, we fucking, yeah. As soon as we were available, we started recording because we just lost a whole show. For like the third time in Scotchcast history, I think. Maybe only the second, I don't know. So we
recorded the last, 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. At least it's only 20 minutes. Like, last time we lost like 3 hours. Like, it was like a full show. And we were just fucked. God. And then we were all just wrecked. But the sad thing is, though, we've both like had things to say that surprised the other. You will in this version of this recording, we will have lost all forms of surprise. I cannot surprise you with my stories anymore because he literally just heard them.
He just heard all of it. Can we enhance the freshness for the audience just by reacting with great surprise?
Like some form of reaction video-esque performance for each other's stories. Okay, let's try. Okay, Noob, how was your week? What have you done this week?
Oh, well, my week was really tough.
What?
It was
really... No!
It was a really rough week. I was, I had a lot of work, and, last week, I haven't played any video games. I've just...
I wish I could keep that up. I can't keep that up for the whole thing.
No.
At home, not seeing us on video, you don't see us clearly doing reaction video-esque things.
But last week it was a hellish week at work. Everyone on my team was away and I had a new manager who just started on that Monday. Mm. And so I was both sort of giving her...
So are you working and doing uni at the same time now? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, exactly. So I worked... It's normally only about 28 hours a week, but I did something like 36 last week on top of 15 hours of two exams and two essays.
So you had exams and work and a deadline. I'm not surprised that you are... Because the whole deal is we wanted to do a full show, but I'm too tired and you're too tired.
Exactly, I'm too exhausted. Like, on Tuesday night, I got 0 hours of sleep.
Right.
It's fucked.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you're just on a deadline. Have you played anything this fortnight?
No, I played a little bit of Fallout.
Right.
I've been trying to stick on it so I can finally do the DLC that I have yet to start.
Right.
Hitman, I'm gonna get back into because they announced the next season and all of the seasons is out.
Yeah.
And did I mention anything in the last recording that I forgot to mention here?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. Did you watch any movies or anything?
No. Okay. I watched a trailer. Let's just do that now.
So we talked about that this last episode, and we literally just talked about it like 5 minutes ago on this recording.
Right. But I didn't watch any movies, but I watched the Logan trailer.
Yeah, so for people at home, we don't want to go too much into it because we did it for like half an hour last week. But like, give me your impressions again, because I can talk about this trailer over and over and over again.
So it's really good. It's really good. So I'm so glad that there's a superhero movie where it's not just cities collapsing around you and just loud noise.
First thing, so I have suspicions about this now, right?
Right.
Because this is nothing to do with the end of Apocalypse, which means there is clearly some form of bridging material, right? I am worried that they've just showed us all the good sides. Not only a good scene, but all the good sides of this movie. Right. Because there's a moment in the movie where there's like a normal fucking city, right? And you see these people jumping off the rooftop.
Yeah.
That is... clearly some form of time travel. In my head, that's clearly some form of time travel moment where they jump off a rooftop and some form of fuckery happens and they fix
it. But here's the thing, right? If that happens at the very end, I don't think I'll be as pissed, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because it's like, I've gotten all this good sort of like, you know, it's about the character of Wolverine. Mm-hmm. It's about him getting to a much older age and sort of that transitioning to let go of... sort of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think this is an excellent send-off movie from what I've seen so far. And if they ruin it at the end, they completely fuck it up. They're like, and then Wolverine grows extra claws and he destroys the World
and eight
Trade
arms.
Center. Like, whatever, you know, that happens.
Yes.
Okay, sure. I've gotten the 90 or 85 minutes of what I want.
Yeah.
And then there's the 10 minutes if that fucks it up. But you know what? Whatever. You know?
That's if it goes that way. If it's the other way, which is what I suspect, and it's actually like a through line through the whole movie, and they're going between like two timelines or something, or like the, that could just ruin the whole fucking thing. I just want what they promised in that trailer, which is just a slow, chilled out, mellow, dark Wolverine movie, which is the personal story.
I don't want any other super monsters. I don't want that. Because it's based on Old Man Logan, and it's like, isn't that like super mutant world? I don't want that.
Yeah,
I like
in that world, like there's three daughters of the children of the Hulk ruling the world. It's some garbage, like some fucking madness.
I want that. No. Whatever they showed in the trailer, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it that way.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be a really good movie. It's gonna be, if they can pull it off well, it's probably gonna be like the first superhero movie where it's like, people take it seriously its artistic merit.
It's an art house superhero movie.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Like my only, like the only parts of it that make me not even like not excited aside from my horrible theories is that if anything is just The Last of Us in repainted with Wolverine, which I will not complain about because I love The Last of Us and I'm willing to watch that in movie form. But like, yeah, it's hitting a lot of the same beats. I just hope the girl, because she specifically doesn't speak in that trailer. Like, this is the thing. I'm trying. The trailer left me so happy and wanting to watch the movie that I need to do the pushback because I've been let down too many times, specifically by the Wolverine movies. Like,
yes,
I liked the second one, but the last third
the
of
second
it was
one.
Good. The last third of it was bad, but the first
it was terrible, like cartoon fighting.
Exactly.
It was fucking horrible.
But the first, I can't think of a Marvel movie I looked forward to. To be fair, it's Sony, but whatever. The Marvel movie I looked forward to more than the first Wolverine Origins movie, and how fucking terrible ended up being. Like, it was heartbreaking how fucking bad that movie was.
Well, it has Ryan Reynolds's as
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
And he does a great
appearance.
Yeah, we all know he does a good Deadpool, so clearly that movie had to have like benefited from his presence in some way, shape, or form. Your volume's gone down. I can barely
it's
hear
awful.
You.
It's awful.
Okay, thank awful. You.
But I mean, there's this, and then there's Guardians of the Galaxy. Those are the two superhero movies that I'm excited for.
Oh,
and
Guardians,
I guess
Guardians
Wonder
too.
Woman looks pretty good.
Did you see the second
good.
Wonder Woman trailer that just came out?
I haven't seen. How is it?
It is many. It's a lot of reused footage, but she talks more, and that makes me worry for the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think honestly, Battlefield 1 has drained my excitement for anything having to do with World War 1.
As like, in, it's like negatively affected it, or
negative affected. Like, I have no interest in the setting anymore. I'm sick and tired of, because it's on every video. My dad was watching some Korean news broadcast on like YouTube, right? It turned on Chromecast. It's like dun 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 dun, dun, and I'm like, stop, make it stop. I'm sick and tired of seeing video games just on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just sort of like such a dumb, like it's like a biplane flying in the desert, like a red biplane.
Yeah.
And it just looks so stupid. And I want it. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's ruined World War One for me. This Remembrance Day, I'm going to be like, yo, fuck you. If you fought in the Battlefield One,
you wouldn't actually say that.
I wouldn't say
you're
that,
too
but
nice.
It was not a good.
No, I'm with you, but yes, like the. But that's not even the reason. It's purely because of I don't like the fact that this trailer gave her more time to shine makes me worry for the movie more.
Because
when Wonder Woman's just being a total badass, she's awesome, but when she's relying on the acting talents of Gal Gadot, I had hopes, but I this has dashed some of those.
It is also a DC movie, so yes. There's everything going against it.
It's probably going to be terrible.
Yeah. It will. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's just be clear. But no, Logan. That was cool. I can't wait.
I'm excited for Logan. So, I think it's March next year.
So that's what you were doing. I've been
talk about Star Wars.
The Rogue One trailer. So I was
care.
It was forced upon. I'm on media blackout for Star Wars because they're one for one, but that's not exactly a trend line. So I don't know if this movie is going to be good. I know it looks good, but we've been lied to in the past.
Got a multicultural cast. They have a Chinese blind man, blind Chinese man, and of course you live in a science fiction universe. So he still has to talk.
Oh, the Empire is going to be bad,
and it's like you're in science fiction in a galaxy far, far away, and you still have to have an Asian man who is like a blind sensei, and he has to have like a staff, and he has to do these kung fu moves. Like, why? Yeah. Why is that necessary? Oh my god!
So yes,
have like a black homeless guy. Just racist stereotypes all around.
It's Star Wars, man. That's what the original trilogy should be famous for. If it wasn't for Lando Calrissian, that whole thing would have been like fucking weird. Anyway, no, I'm on media blackout. So it was on during the movie I watched this week, but it was on, but I actively did not pay attention to it. I don't want to see anything about it. I will watch that movie when it comes out and judge it on its own merits, not its marketing material. Speaking of marketing material, so yeah, sorry, just quickly, I've spent the last week drinking till 5 a.m. in the morning, so I'm fucked. That's the long story short. There were many humorous things. I can't do them again. I'm too tired. I can't tell these stories again.
There was a really nice beach house.
Yes.
And then you like ran an absurd, over a bunch
like a 1.2 million. Okay, so, all right. I can tell you a difference. So it was a 1.2 to $1.5 million beach house, which was like a $3,000 for the week to rent. It was fucking awesome, and I very much recommend it. I was there with six friends, five other friends, six people total. So, freaking amazing time. That arcade machine. We played the Dungeons and Dragons video game on the arcade machine. It was fucking awesome with unlimited credits. Yeah. That's we had lots of fun. But let's just talk about Roombas for a hot second. So
my dad has a Roomba.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I assume Roombas are good, but the place we went to, like, even though it's awesome that they had one. It wasn't a Roomba. It was a Sterling, or I think the company is just called Sterling.
Right.
Which means inevitably we just started anthropomorphizing it and just calling it Sterling, right? So Sterling would be usually turn Sterling on like twice a day, like once in the morning and then once in the afternoon, and then once at night. Because, you know, he didn't do a great job. Like, he was like one of those people who were like, he does the work and you could tell he's working hard, but he's not doing a fucking good job of it at all. Like, so he's making up for it by working twice as much. That's essentially how Sterling went down. So, Sterling, the what I found out was it is so easy to immediately start connecting with a machine. In a really dumb way, and especially when you have a group of people who like essentially like take it under their wing. So Sterling had troubles with wires. Like, anytime you had like a wire on the ground, Sterling would like immediately suck it up, and then just fucking like it gets like you can just hear him crunching in the corner, and then at some point he just starts beeping. Like, he had a distress call, so it's like he would get fucking caught on something, and you hear him turn off, and then just beep. Beep, beep, and everyone would be like, oh, fucking, and someone would have to go up and save Sterling. So you usually walk up to him, like, untangle the wires from him, put him back down. And it's like this kind of moment where, like, again, it's like this weird connection with the machine, because it's like this tiny little, like, cylinder on the ground. And you're like looking at him, and he's looking back, and you're like, you know, okay, I'm just going to take all the wires off the ground, aren't I? And you can and mentally you just see him nodding. And then you just take all the wires off the ground and you hit order again and he carries on right away. He also did this stupid thing. He does the thing that dogs do. So Sterling would be sitting around like playing Dungeons and Dragons or whatever at the kitchen table. And then you just hear Sterling go up and everyone would look at him and then he'd look back at us and just keep coming. And we're like, all right, fine. This is going to happen. So obviously, and so he'd like start like going under the table with near everyone's feet. But his motion detection and his wall detection wasn't that great. Like he clearly has like only one, maybe two senses to figure out where walls are. No, he'd do this thing where he'd go up to your feet and he'd like nudge him and then he'd like turn a bit and then he'd nudge him again and then he'd turn a bit and he'd nudge him again and then he'd like think they're a wall because they're not moving. So he'd like slide around your feet, but it's like spinning brushes. So these spinning brushes, we find. So obviously then you're like, oh, that's fucking weird. So you take your feet off the ground and then there's suddenly no wall there. So you just start spinning in a circle like a fucking idiot. So yes, it was actually really wonderful to see the group like come together and like adopt this little machine. Right. And it makes me wonder if you had like a Roomba that was like actually good at its job, whether it be the same. Because like,
essentially you have Sterling here. Like, leave it, yeah.
Exactly. Like, you have Sterling, the lovable idiot, who's just like trying his best, doing what job he can. He runs out of battery and you can see him like limping home. Like he like get three quarters around the room because he just spent half the time spinning in circles and then you just see him slowly fucking limp back and it's like we all know he didn't finish his job. He clearly knows he didn't finish his job,
right?
But he still like he tried
yeah,
and it means we don't have to vacuum, so that was fine,
right?
But if it was like an equivalent of like a Roomba, which we'd obviously call Klaus. So Klaus would be this like efficient German dude who like does perfect fucking like straight patterns across the ground, would be out of your way, be weirdly silent. Like he'd be just like, you'd be talking and Klaus would just be in the background just like doing his job. Like, I don't know if that'd be
You wouldn't notice Klaus. You would not notice
You wouldn't notice Klaus. Yeah. And so Klaus wouldn't be as fun and like lovable as a Sterling. It's one of those weird things. I look forward to our inevitable robot future, is what I'm saying. And this was the first step on that, and I loved it. Sterling was one of my favorite things about holidays. Speaking about my favorite things of the holidays, we watched two movies. First of which is What We Do from the Shadows, which is actually came out last year. Let me just see what we do in the shadows. What We Do in the Shadows. So, I cannot say how much I recommend this movie. It is amazing. It is it's a funny horror movie. We watched it on Halloween. That's right. So we had I had like eight movies teed up for Halloween. And this is the first.
Is Halloween a thing in Australia? Do people dress up and go trick-or-treating?
So people do trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
Depending on like how many families are in an area.
Right.
So like, if there's a lot of kids, then they'll probably be trick-or-treating and there'll probably be like parents in the street like escorting their kids and a bunch of other stuff. But if it's like a group of apartment buildings and it's all like the 20-year-old men and whatever and women, you wouldn't have any trick-or-treating whatsoever. It depends on how suburban it is. We did get trick-or-treaters. We didn't buy anything for them, but we turned off all our lights so they never knocked on the door. Because they didn't know we were home. So, we avoided that weird, questionable thing. So, what we ended up watching was what we do in the shadows. And then we had eight movies teed out, but we ended up just watching this and then drinking for the rest of the night. So, But it is amazing. And the premise is that there's a documentary film crew following around vampires. And vampires are just people, man. Like, they have people problems. Like, they have heartbreak. And they have, like, you know, sunlight allergies. And things can go wrong in their lives just as they can with us. I haven't laughed that much in quite a while for a movie. It's great. And definitely watch it. That was the first one. It's old, so we're going to do too much. And as with any comedy movie, you can't really say... ruining the jokes doesn't make it funnier. I will not talk about the jokes so that you can catch them on your way home. Well, my favorite one.
It's the Flight of the Conchords guys.
Yeah.
Or the guy.
Well, one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, one of the guys.
He plays Vlad. Vlad the Poker. Yes. Anyway, we will leave that there. The other movie I watched was Doctor Strange. And this is pretty much catching up to where we left off when doing our aborted 20-minute recording. Noobarama.
We're back. We've arrived.
As the newfound expert on Doctor Strange, yeah. Who is Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange is like a sorcerer who can do a lot of things, like mm-hmm. turn back time, mm-hmm. destroy the universe, played by Benedict Cumberdinks. What's his name?
Benedict
Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And he is... He's a magician. He's a sorcerer.
Fucking magic. In this, so we'll quickly. So what my intention is, I'll quickly say some like overall thoughts, and then I'm just going to go straight into spoilers. And I'll tell you when I'm going to go straight into spoilers and give you a spoiler warning. But so if you haven't seen Doctor Strange, here's your quick lowdown. This movie's fucking awesome. Go see it. Don't complain about Tilda Swinton. She was awesome. The writing. We all know writing Marvel movies isn't that great, except for like, sorry, the plot in Marvel movies isn't that great, but the writing has been consistently good. This is just follows that trend. So plot bad, writing good, very humorous, like very funny.
Is this an apocalyptic film like all of the other ones?
Absolutely.
Oh jeez.
It is definitely. Doctor Strange saves the world at the end of this movie. I shouldn't surprise you. It's weird. Like, yeah, this maybe you want to go back and read the Doctor Strange comics because of just how interesting it is. Because it is very different from all the others. Like, it's obviously no fucking old man like Logan story, but it's like the worlds he plays in is. Different to what the Avengers play in. In fact, like they only reference the Avengers a couple times in this movie, and one of the lines they just say is like the Avengers save the world from physical threats. Doctor Strange and his crew and the sorcerers of the world save the world from extra like magical threats and extraplanar threats. So they deal in the multiverse. They deal in entities from other space times coming across our barriers and trying to destroy or take over the world. Like that's the fucking playgrounds they work in. Doctor Strange is very important in the fiction for he's the one who essentially prevents Thanos from destroying half the galaxy.
Right.
I.e. Thanos actually does destroy the other half of the galaxy.
Oh.
But he, in doing so, Doctor Strange arranges some form of like universe fuckery to allow the Earth to avoid that fate. Like that's his power level. He is top tier. But this is just his origin.
They have
story.
Too many powerful superheroes.
Yes,
Marvel.
Yeah,
I know. How do they all exist in the same world?
Well, they're just chilling, you know.
Just chilling.
Yeah, the more powerful.
What a shitty world to live in.
I know. Like, universe. There's some great moments in this movie where like something that would have been like greeted with outright astonishment, if not disbelieving in like maybe a year or two ago in the universe is now just, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, of course you can fly. Of course you have like some weird magical, of course you can make like portals to Mount Everest or whatever.
Right.
It's pretty great. Just like watching how that has had the interplay. So with that, I'm going to go into spoilers. That's our half of the show. Like, we don't have anything else to talk about.
Other than spoilers.
Other than spoilers for Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening. You can check us out at scotchcast.cool. You can email us at therealscotchcast@gmail.com or thelincolncast@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter, @therealscotchcast or @thelincolncast. The Lincoln Cast is at primary for now. We will fix that at some point when we have the time. But yes.
Are there any plugs?
Do you have any plugs?
No.
Okay. I just plug what we do from the shadows. What we do in the shadows. Just watch that movie.
Right.
It's freaking really freaking good. Oh, and also sorry. And I'll add this to the Google Doc. Starships Mage is a series I've talked about in the past about this universe which is set in the future, but we use magic for intergalactic travel and teleportation stuff due to the eugenics wars of Mars in 2300 or something.
Wow.
It's is essentially an Inquisitor story. Like he's essentially just a space detective cop who has magical powers. It sounds ludicrous, but it's incredibly well written with really likable characters, a really believable world aside from the whole magic thing. And it's very like in that universe, for example, it takes years to build a starship. They try to put in real world concepts of like logistics, supply chains, all that kind of stuff in it. But it's not about that. It's still about the fun kind of detective-y, try to discover who done it, like that kind of thing. Series. It's really, really, really good. Very highly praised on both Goodreads and Audible.com. The latest book of that just came out, which is Alien Arcana. It's the first time they've touched on the subject of aliens in the series, which makes sense because it's an intergalactic series. So check it out. I'd highly recommend it. That's Starship Mage by Glynn Stewart, and that'll be my plug, along with what we do in the show. Sounds cool. So yes, Doctor Strange. Now I'm just going to take the gloves off. I'm just going to talk about spoilers. This movie is freaking awesome. Like,
okay,
I would like to say graphics, but like, so magic usually in movies and stuff is like, maybe a little Dragon Ball Z is like, throwing fireballs and all this like kind of crazy, stupid, like, blah, 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 blah. Walls of flame and all that kind of stuff. In this, it does magic in a way I haven't really seen before in that, the movie is based around this particular Doctor Strange story is based around time manipulation and space manipulation. So two different types of manipulation, but I guess normally we'd call it them linked, but time and space manipulation. So the evil dude makes a pact with Dormammu, which is like this fucking cosmic entity in a plane that has no time. So his whole deal is his family died off when he was younger, right? And his whole family died. And so he wants to stop death. And so he investigates these rituals to form a pact with Dormammu to bring our world into the world without time. So the universe without time so that we no longer age, we no longer die, etc. He hasn't considered the socioeconomic impacts of this, clearly. But
no.
That aside, and how humorously bad that would go, even if it worked aside, the cool thing is that obviously the timeless universe is just some form of fucked up place with like darkness and like giant demons and obviously it's like this is all clearly evil. What are you doing?
Right.
But that's his motivation. But because of that, the way they use magic in this is so different from what we've seen, because it's not about throwing fireballs. It's like literally collapsing space around each other and like manipulating time around each other and shit. It's like people call it like an LSD, like the mind trip, because it's like it's so hard to almost like. I wouldn't be able to think of this movie, and I don't know how, like, who's the genius
to explain it. Yeah.
Because, like, the first fight scene in this movie is such a visual tour de force that it is, like, it's mind. You need to see it. Because, like,
I need to see it.
The main good person, aside from Doctor Strange in this movie, is the Ancient One, who's his teacher, right?
The Tilda Swinton character.
Tilda Swinton. She's supposed to be an old Asian man, and she's like an old...
Well, she does look like an old Asian man, so they've cast the
perfect person. Yeah. But like the level of disparity in power in this movie is very interesting to see, because he doesn't actually end this movie as the Sorcerer Supreme. And this movie kind of bridges that gap into the Marvel universe of saying, okay, this is what a fucking Sorcerer Supreme can do, because she's doing things like she like puts her hand out and like twists her hand and the entire fucking world shifts and gravity shifts, everything starts flying upwards, like down becomes up and stuff. She twists her hands and like buildings start just folding in on themselves, so like it looks like the world's like a kaleidoscope, things just start fucking folding in around each other. She like slams her fists on the ground and she teleports her and everyone around her to what they call the mirror dimension. Because essentially, the idea is that sorcerers are so powerful that they can't just do things in the normal world. Otherwise, everyone would just fucking die, right? So what they do is usually they solve their conflicts in the mirror realm, which is just our realm, but mirror, like an actual just copy, but without people in it. And the physics are slightly different, but it's just essentially an exact copy, but with no people in it. So she transports people to the mirror realm, which lets her just do fucking madness shit. But it's on top of that, they also got excellent fight choreography. So her whole thing is she uses two folding fans, like the Chinese kind of fighting style with using two folding fans. But her folding fans are like these like magical folding fans that look excellent. Like the graphics in this are really like video games have a long way to fucking go because they look like she may as well be holding real things. And part of that is because some of the magical effects they use are actual practical effects. Like they have they create portals by making these circles of magic in the air. But watching some of the making of, they actually have like lights in a circle, like, and doing this thing. So some of the interposition between practical effects and graphical effects make the magic look real in a way that I haven't really seen before. In a way that doesn't make sense, because like she's holding these essentially like light fans, but they look like they work and make sense and are physical in a way that is like almost like weird and practical. But she's doing actual martial arts fighting with these fans while the world is folding around them and time is being weird at the same time. That's just the first fucking fight scene in this movie. It is fucking awesome. So like that's happens. Then you go to like Doctor Strange himself, and he's just like this asshole surgeon, right? So his whole deal is he's like the quintessential. He's not a sociopath, but narcissist. He's a narcissist. Right. Like he only does something when it makes either him look better than the person he's doing it to. Like he's like this dude makes a mistake in like diagnosis, and he just like fucking hammers them and goes, "You don't know what you're doing." And he takes the patient away from them, does it himself, and like makes himself look a badass. And but also he'd only take patients that he knows he can fucking cure as well. So he has like this unbroken record and all this kind of stuff. He's like a total piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. But Rachel McAdams is like obviously clearly like whatever, in love with him or whatever. And they used to be together, but they broke apart because he's like a total fucking asshole. And so you get many scenes of Benedict Cumberbatch being a very believable total piece of shit, which is great. And he's very good at playing a total piece of shit, which is fun to watch. But then he goes through a car accident, and it's entirely his fault. And very fun, like kind of things, because he's getting this phone call about like patients who's coming in. And one of the phone calls, like he's like saying no to these patients because they're not interesting enough, or there's no way for him to cure it, so he's not going to take the patient. But one of the calls is like this 38-year-old colonel flew from the sky in a mechanical suit, and he's got a broken back. Like it does like fun little Avengers references as part of it. It's pretty cool. But he flips his car essentially by not paying attention to the road, just total asshole mode. Don't know what happened to the other family. And his hands get shattered. That's what you see in the trailers.
Oh, okay.
But the whole deal is his hands are shattered, and he's a surgeon, so that's his whole deal. And he goes through all these things trying to find that medical ways of fixing his hand, and he can't find it. And then he finds out from his person who's doing the, what do they call it, physiotherapy, I guess, like the muscle regrowth therapy or whatever.
Yeah.
That he heard of someone who was able to recover after going on a trip to Mongolia or whatever. So he finds the dude. The dude points him towards this temple, and he goes to the temple in Mongolia. He meets the Ancient One, and then more fucking awesomeness happens. And there's no reason for me to recount the entire movie, and I don't want to do that. But there are some fantastic scenes. For example, when apparently artifacts in this universe have a mind, so somewhat like Harry Potter, but not, but because these are actually more so have a mind. So his cape I never knew this, but his cape isn't just like a cape that looks badass, right? It's an artifact. So the first time you see it, he's just like running away from these people attacking him. And it's like in a glass case. And it looks like it's looking at him. It's just, if you imagine the cape going around your shoulders and you have the clasps around your neck, it behaves like it's a manta ray with those being its eyes. Like it uses those. Yeah, it looks.
So is it people. Does it talk in the movie?
It doesn't like talk, but okay, it doesn't need good. To because it's right. It's actually a really great sense like source of humor for the movie because it's just a cape, but it's essentially like a martial arts badass cape that like so he like when he breaks it open and it chooses him as its owner, so it goes around and like when the immediately like because he's just a human, like, he's Dr. Fucking Strange, but he's just like a man, and he's not like one of the earlier scenes. He gets mugged in an alley, and he punches a dude to try like stop them from taking his watch, and like barely affected. And it's just like a humorous moment where like everyone just looks at him funny because he's like he punches like a girl essentially. So, so he's not very strong. So the cape's like throwing him around the room, trying to get away from safety. Like slamming against walls and stuff, and like pointing relics out to him by like flapping in a direction so he like picks them up. But the it all culminates in like the cape has funnier fight scenes than him because it like grabs a dude by the head and just like slams him up and fucking down across the fucking room and shit. Like if you remember the Hulk fighting Loki in the first Avengers movie where he just like grabs Loki and just starts slamming around. The capes does that to people. Like, it's just really humorous to watch it fight things because it's just a cape. It just its only powers are levitation and grabbing, and it uses those to great effect. The cape's fun. But finally, I really just do want to talk about the final boss fight of the movie. And that's why this is a spoiler segment. Because this is when the time stuff becomes fucking awesome. And I want to note that the death of the Ancient One in Tilda Swinton was probably my second favorite movie scene in that movie, but I won't go into it because I don't want to spoil. Just in case you do watch it, it's a very like it's like a touching moment in a way I wasn't expecting from a Marvel movie because this movie is all about death, really. It's about dealing with death and dealing with your passing. I loved the Ancient One in this movie. But anyway, so the last scene in the movie, Doctor Strange gets the Eye of Agamemnon, which is like this, which allows him to turn back time and manipulate time, which is obviously top tier power. So literally, he shows up to the final, like into Hong Kong, and Hong Kong's like fucking being drawn into the shadow realm. But he's so powerful that essentially he literally just fucking starts turning back time to undo like the universe fucking destroying, essentially. Like, this is just, what I mean when it comes to power scales. Like, this movie gives you a good sense of how fucking ridiculous Doctor Strange is and why they really probably shouldn't have introduced him in the first place, whatever. So he's turning back time, but then the bad guys rock up and stop him from turning back time, like at least slow his time regression power by like their own magic. So what you get is one of the most interesting fight scenes I've seen, because the world is, so there was an explosion in the past, right? And he's coming from the present. So the world is reverting towards an explosion. So things were exploding outward, but are now like returning to the original place and then standing still. So you have things where one of the dudes kicks a woman into a pool of water. The pool of water then just gets sucked back into a fish tank and the glass closes around them.
Right.
So like really interesting things where cars are like crashing in reverse. So they're like start stationary, but suddenly like speed away from each other at 40 kilometers an hour. Like everything's happening in reverse. So they barely know how to navigate this world where everything's fucking reverse ending. But at the same time, there's a fight scene happening. It's fucking amazing.
So many things. Oh my gosh.
But in the end, like the part that's probably my favorite part of the movie is how he beats the last boss. Because it's always weird when a superhero fights some form of godlike entity. Because it shouldn't work. Like, In reality, if something is the size of a skyscraper, if it flicks you, you will just fucking explode. This is the amount of force contained in that, right? But so how he does it is he has his eye of whatever. And the bad dude says he repeats that he wants to take us to the world without time. And he's like, huh, time. I see. So he flies into the world without time with his time power thing, right? And all he does is such a simple checkmate. It's one of the most cool checkmates I've seen in a Marvel movie. Because what he does is he sets up a loop. So what you see is he touches his time power like thing around his hand. And then he goes and talks to, like, he stands in front of the god and, like, stands all impressively and says, I am here to strike a deal. And the first thing the god does is turn to him, open his eyes, and this giant beam comes out, and he just disintegrates. So you just see Doctor Strange just disintegrate. And then, like, moments later, he, like, jumps up over this asteroid and lands again and goes, and then it repeats in the exact same way, let's strike a deal. And it just happens over, and he dies by, like, multiple different fucking methods. And then he finally reveals, like, I set up a time loop, and we will do this forever unless you strike a deal with me. So he, like, checkmates a god by just, like, essentially just annoying him to the point where, like, he can't get out of this loop. He keeps killing this dude, but he can't fucking stop himself. And he's used to being in a universe without time, so he's like, what is this? How is this happening? And it's like, it's actually really wonderful to watch this, like, here. And it's also humorous because he's like lands and he's like skewered from multiple edges and he's like fucking all bits and pieces, and then he comes back over and in the end he just strikes a deal with his entity. He's like, take your bad guys and fuck off, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end. That is the final boss fight, him outsmarting a god. And that's why it was fucking interesting and different from other Marvel movies, aside from the amazing visuals of the whole thing.
Right.
So definitely, like, I would say
it's very different. It's different. So different. It's different than fucking Avengers Age of
Blah,
whatever Age of Blah. It's called.
100% recommend everyone watch it. I think it'll be one of those movies that, because that hasn't, like, blown the socks off everyone in terms of sales figures, but I think it's, like, it's going to be one of those movies that it gets a consistent amount because the word of mouth is so good. And I really do hope they say Doctor Strange will return. I hope there's a second one of these, because he's not the Sorcerer Supreme at the end of this movie. The Sorcerer Supreme dies, and I don't know what the process is to become Sorcerer Supreme, but the level of power difference between him and the Ancient One is absurd. Like, she just, like, fucking folds the universe around her at will, right? She's some form of godlike being. I can't wait to see him get to that level of power in future movies.
He's got to go fight with the Avengers in the next War movie.
He's instrumental to stopping Thanos. That's his whole deal. The cool, like, end of credits thing is...
Yeah.
And this is another thing that gives you an idea of, like, how cool he is. He's just, like, sitting there across the table. You just see him sitting there at his desk because he becomes, like, the Watcher of New York. There's three, like, centers of power in the world. There's, like, New York, Hong Kong, and London. So he's just sitting, he becomes the New York guy. He's just sitting on his desk, and he's like, so I heard you and your brother have come to our world. And I'm concerned because essentially your green beings are great power, and I want to make sure you don't do much damage. And he switches across, it's just Thor. And he's like sitting in, like, a tracksuit or whatever, because he took a break during the last movie.
Right.
Like the joke around Thor. And he's like, do you want tea? And Thor's like, I don't drink tea. So he gives him a beer, like a stein of beer. And this is this great thing where, like, Thor's sitting there with a stein of beer talking to Doctor Strange. And he brings his mouth to the top of the beer. And it cuts to Doctor Strange's cut back, and the beer's just empty. Like, the humor around Thor is, like, they're just doubling down on it, right? So he looks at the beer and looks back at Doctor Strange, and then Doctor Strange looks back at him, and the beer just refills, and he smiles. So Doctor Strange's like, why are you here? And he's like, we're trying to find Odin. And he's like, so if I help you find Odin, will you leave faster? And Thor's like, yeah, sure. So he's like, I will help you find Odin then. That's the setup for the next Doctor Strange thing.
Right.
And it sets up, like, how... Yeah. He talks on...
I feel like it's not fair that him and Hawkeye exist in the same universe.
Yeah, what we really need is like a Hawkeye movie where he becomes like, you know, this emotional center for the Avengers. I fucking hate Hawkeye. Fucking Hawkeye. This is garbage. But no, yeah, definitely watch Doctor Strange. That's all I had to say this week. I assume Thurbleton will have some like stuff. There's been some news. I just want to quickly get your thoughts on one piece of news. Diablo 1 returning in Diablo 3.
Oh, God.
Okay. I love it. I'm so happy. When I heard the Necromancer was coming,
they should have
like,
just done a straight remake. I don't think it was a good idea to bring the levels into.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. That's
a straight
call.
Remake would have been better.
Yeah. And then Tintin, I love it, and I can't wait to play Necromancer. Quentin Tarantino announced that he'll retire after his 10th movie. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's what he was going for. Mm. I would be surprised if he stays in retirement forever. I would be very surprised. If he follows through.
What if he just goes into TV instead? Like, does that count? I think he'd be good.
He'd be good with TV.
I think TV in 2016 is far closer to what I think he likes than what movies are in 2016.
Yeah, there's so much niche places for him to create what he wants to do as a content creator.
And as a final thing for the episode, this is our chance, Noob Rama. This is going to be like a moment where many of the audience will dislike that we do this, but we're sitting here 2 days away from the U.S. federal election.
Oh, yeah.
I want your predictions.
My prediction?
Yeah. I want you.
Okay.
Just give me your predictions and I'll ask you to elaborate.
Unless anything big happens.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton will win both the Electoral College and the popular vote.
Okay. Did you think both? Okay. All right. Will Donald Trump concede then?
Depends on the margin of victory. If there is a state where a recount is possible, Donald Trump will ask for a recount.
Full stop. He will.
But if none of the swing states are within recount sort of where it would determine the election, right? Mm-hmm. Then I think he will concede.
You think he will concede? Okay.
Yeah. Right. If it's out of reach, if the election is out of reach.
Do you think it's going to be a landslide either way?
No. It will either be a Clinton. Even Clinton landslide is unlikely, but I think it will be either the three options, I think it will be a very visible Clinton victory. Like it will be very clear. You can't dispute that, right? She's won. I don't think it will be a landslide, but she's done well. Right.
What is a landslide in U.S. politics? It's like 60-40 a landslide.
That's a landslide. A 10-point victory. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I think more likely it will be sort of a bit narrower than that, right? Where she still has a significant portion of the popular vote, but
so we're talking about like 50,
I think it's the
58,
least, the least likely
whatever,
is a narrow Clinton, or the least likely possibility for me, in my opinion, is a narrow Trump victory.
The least likely possibility.
I mean, because a Trump blowout is not going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. A Trump landslide cannot happen. It cannot happen. I just don't think that's in the cards. But a Trump victory could probably. Like it's possible.
It could happen. It's within. It has like a 30% possibility.
Exactly. And that's a very interesting place to be in this world where.
And I just want to say that polls were predicting Brexit to be 33% as well.
Oh, shit. Right.
So, wait, 33%, doesn't nest...
you mean 33% like going through?
Yeah.
Of passing. Oh, God.
Yeah.
And we
that's
see
what people
we,
thought.
Exactly. And we see how that turned out. We see fucking. Because. Yeah, this is just the more math I see behind this, the more fucked up the U.S. electoral system appears because the fact that you have to ask people to vote, people apparently have a freedom to not have freedom.
Here it's the same. You don't have to vote here.
Really? In Canada as well?
The only countries I believe that have, it's Australia and Belgium. Those are the only two countries with legal...
So stupid that you don't have to vote. This is like the whole deal. I think that's the most moronic thing. I know it's very dangerous giving people the vote, but I think it's very important that everyone votes. Just full stop. It should be illegal to not vote, or at least a finable offense to not vote. Like, for us, we just have a very small fine. So you could potentially go, fuck it, I'm morally abstaining and we'll pay you a stupid fine. But it's illegal. Like, it's on paper, it's illegal. And that's what it should be. Anyway, so Donald Trump, the math behind it is stuff like, okay, 94% or so of black Americans voted for Obama, whereas only 57% of, sorry, only 43% of white Americans who voted for Obama. So it was like weird things like that with like how strong the racial prejudice towards either Republican or Democrat is, and how the fact that like America is like 75% or 80% white, for example, if that if you have any increase in voting, then that will obviously be the largest by proportion that increases. Right, so by that internal distribution of votes wouldn't necessarily be 50-50 Democrat Republican. It could be strongly either way, because
there's 10 million more voters in this election than the last one, right? 10 million, right.
That's
which a is lot. A third of our population, like our country's population.
Half of ours, yeah,
into context, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, and it's predominantly, the shift in that is predominantly Democratic voters, right?
I hope so.
It's joining the electorate.
Well,
right?
Sorry, I don't but actually really time, care, but I think so.
But in the sense of, in the fact that, you know, immigrant communities tend to have higher birth rates, that's just a fact.
Yeah.
Immigration, primary driver of growth, etc.
Yeah.
That's, and immigrant voters tend to vote, for the most part. There are some communities, Vietnamese votes tend to vote Republican, etc. Mm-hmm. But they tend to vote Democratic.
Yeah.
But the problem is, again, the Clinton game is focused on turnout. It doesn't matter necessarily, and people would argue that Republican parties at state level are trying to make voting difficult. You need to show three different pieces of ID, etc.
Yeah.
To sort of ensure people stay at home during election day.
Right.
And I think the question remains is, if people are so cynical and so exhausted with politics, especially on the left, is it, that would be very bad for Clinton. Clinton is, it's less about,
you're doing it, I mean, to yourselves.
It's really getting, exactly. It is really just getting the turnout. Yeah. And I think swing voters are without a doubt important, but I think to rely only on swing voters would be very, very, very dangerous.
It's
for the Clinton. Yeah.
Again, I will restate my position that it should be mandatory to vote. Full stop. It's stupid. It's stupid that you can, that people, I don't think the entire system works, looking at their system.
But to be fair, I think in terms of how many elections there are in the U.S., is there's an election at the federal level every 2 years alone, just at the federal level.
Right.
This is excluding state legislature, governorships, local elections, everything, right? So it's just there, although this, it is lower, they vote more often. And the mechanisms for changing government, because there's so many different checks and balances, it's bicameral. So there's a state, or there's a Senate and a lower house on top of the presidency. That just makes it's a very different system from what we have here.
It is different system.
Yeah.
I still don't think that, because, all right, imagine them. Think about how much money is currently being spent on just asking people to vote.
Yeah.
For example, like it's just. And voting, especially, and also they have a dumb thing where they vote during weekdays. Like, what the fuck are they doing? Like, I don't even get that. Like, we have all our votes on weekends because...
Oh, our votes are weekdays here as well.
That doesn't... Well, your votes are also not mandatory, right?
Yeah, our votes are not mandatory.
They just have the thing where, like, it's a mandatory vote, but it's on a weekend. So it's like, it becomes a thing where you're like, okay. And then Saturday night becomes a fun thing. Election night, Saturday nights are actually pretty fun because A, we all just start drinking. And then B, you get to watch the outcome of the vote you just did. It's actually pretty fun. Anyway.
But I'll be watching the coverage.
I'm betting a 55-45 Clinton victory. That's my bet. That's my bet.
I don't think it's going to be that far
big?
Apart.
I think it's going to be that far apart.
It'll be 53-50. It'll probably be 52% to 46%. 46%,
okay. Right.
45%, like just the third party voters, etc.
Right. I'm not accounting for 40, like third party voters in my math, but just the 2% essentially. That'd be interesting.
2% of the majority. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. That'll be very interesting. So yeah, we will see how accurate we are next week when we return.
Right.
And Thurbleton will have a new president.
Exactly.
Or at least be ramping up towards a new president. Yes. To say, yeah, don't swear out immediately. I don't mm-hmm. think.
Yeah, January. Yeah, is January. when they'll swear them in.
Yeah. So. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Again, scotchcast.cool. Check us out there.
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows is an awesome movie. Starship's Mage is a great trilogy. Noob doesn't have a plug, so I get to have two.
That Logan trailer looks good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening this week, and goodbye.